to ensure your success.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. Of good. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We got a great show for you today. I've wanted to do this show for quite a while, but Dan John, he is a coach, and he is a very, very busy guy, so we had to work it out around his schedule, but this is going to be an important show today. Before we get started, I want to mention something. We did the show the other day on the dangers of microwave cooking, and I've received numerous emails as well as some posts up on the Superhuman Radio website in the comment section about that particular show. And I just want to touch on a couple things real quick, and then we'll get into the interview. There's a fellow named Eric who understandably is frustrated by this kind of information. You know, the food we eat is no good. You know, now microwave ovens are no good. What are we supposed to do? You know, nothing works. Pretty soon we'll be standing in the corner with tinfoil on our heads, hiding from life. You know, I understand the frustration that people have about this sort of information, but you have to understand something. We've been fed, unfortunately, by the media, the government, and companies who would take our dollars and give us things that make us sick, the wrong information. And the old adage, you know, don't kill the messenger. It has to apply here. Microwave ovens are no good, not even for reheating water. Try the test at home. I'm going to be actually doing the test with two plants side by side. I'm going to start this weekend, and I will post pictures. I'm going to heat water in a microwave oven, let it cool to room temperature, water one plant with previously microwaved water and one plant with just regular tap water. We're going to see if the plant with the microwave water dies like William Thomas says it will, and he claims that it happens every single time that somebody does it, so we're going to find out. But the bottom line is this. I understand you're frustrated. Now what do you do? How do you heat your coffee at work? You're going to have to find other ways. That's the bottom line. I mean, if you could buy a house for $10, but its interior covered with asbestos, would you buy it? Of course not, because you'll die eventually. So, I understand the frustration. I understand the concerns, but you do have to be aware of these things. You know, deal with it. Take the 80-20 rule. 80% of your life, try to correct the things you can. 20%, forget about it. But, you know, the frustration needs to be pointed at the companies that introduced microwave ovens to us, knowing the damage that they do, the carcinogenic effects to foods, the changes in DNA, and the radiation that they fill our house with every time we use them. Okay? And I'm sorry that I had to be the one to deliver the information. Now on to lighter and more important stuff. Dan John is a coach, and he is the author of a great book that I read regularly. I keep it next to my bed. I crack it open from time to time and just start wherever I open up and read. And it's always filled with not only great information about training, but great information about life. You know, it's just a fantastic book. I would urge anyone out there who's looking for a great book to read to go to DaveDraper.com and order Dan John's book, Never Let Go. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, I'm really doing fine. It's been we had a nice track meet last night, and the weather's finally clearing up a little bit. And I've got my interns are watching my classes now. I got one from Ireland, and another guy's local, and so my life is easing up, as complex as it is.
I know you're busy, and I really appreciate you making time to do this show.
No problem.
This is a really important show, and I'm going to tell you why. Many of us, we do the same thing day in and day out in the gym. And we know that that's not the best approach. And we're looking for something different to do all the time. But, you know, you change rep schemes, you change set schemes, you change movements a little bit, you do this, you do that. And you still don't really ever break out of that mold of doing the same old thing. When I first read your book, and then again about a month ago, I happened to crack it open to the chapter where you talk about Sergei Litvinov.
Right.
And I thought to myself, you know, I never heard of Sergey, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have heard of him, but there's also probably a lot of people who have never heard of him. And I think that there's some real pearls of wisdom in that chapter that you wrote about Sergey. And I want to discuss that today. So first of all, let's start from the beginning. When did you first learn about Sergey?
Oh, I mean, I followed his career, but the important thing is a conversation I had with John Powell, you know, after the 83 and then the 83 World Championships. And, you know, John was talking about how this guy is doing stuff different. What he was doing front squats with 180 kilos, which is 396, for sets of eight, and then he'd run a 75-second 400 meters. And he did this for a couple sets. Now, listen, if all you did was 180 kilos for sets of eight in the front squat, if you're already doing that, we don't really need to talk anymore. You're probably doing fine.
You're advanced already. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Then to pull off a 75-second 400 to, you know, and what really hit John and really hit the rest of us is that there might be another way to do all this stuff instead of, now listen, I'm telling you the truth. Powell wrote this great thing called Power to the People Monthly, and Volume 1, Issue 2, talk is the easy strength article. It's like one of those watershed things that to get stronger, it's pretty simple, and it really is. We've known how to get stronger for a long time. You know, you keep the reps to 2 to 5, you have ample rest periods, you keep things simple, and if you did that, you could get extremely strong, scary strong, massively strong. But does that translate over? Does that translate over to sport? Does that translate over to everything else? What Litvinov, and from then to kind of honor him, I've kept the names. Litvinovs are when you take a strength movement and you follow it up with a movement. So the classics are front squats and sprints. And of course, I've developed a whole bunch of others. And in fact,
right,
in our backyard, we do this one where you take you put a sled on, you hook up a sled to your back, and you do overhead squats, throw the bar down, and sprint away with the sled. Now, you say, well, what's the key? Well, I learned this lesson years ago. I got hurt years ago, and a good friend of mine, a doctor, said, you know, you're a strength athlete. Why don't you just go the opposite direction? You really should swim to, you know, keep your exercise, and you might as well bike. And so I figured, well, since I was biking and swimming, I might as well do a triathlon, right? Of course, that makes sense. That's because I'm a lunatic. So I went from being a strength athlete to a triathlete in about, 2 days. And one of the things I noticed when I did triathlons is when you jump off the bicycle and you start to run, you really run like an idiot for about the first 50 feet.
Right.
Because you've been bicycling for so long, and then you start to run. Well, it's funny because all these things kind of just came together for me, that the thing about like football, you're blocking me and I'm hand fighting you off, and so basically it's the two of us are belly bumping and just pushing and pushing, and then I break away and I have to run down the ball carrier. But that's not how we train. We do 5 sets of 5 in the squat, 5 sets of 5 in the bench, 5 sets of 5 in the clean, 5 sets of 5 in the deadlift. Then we walk outside, change shoes, and then we do some sprints. But in the football game, that transition was less than a tenth of a second.
Right.
So we're doing all this stuff that's wonderful and it all works, but it doesn't carry over. And so the cool thing about the Litvinovs, and I'll tell you one thing, the first time you do front squats, and here's a great, for the listeners, just get yourself a kettlebell and go find a place, or two kettlebells, and do goblet squats or double kettlebell front squats. Do a set of 10, throw them down and sprint away.
That's actually my first attempt at a Litvinov-esque movement. That was it. I took a 45-pound kettlebell to the park. I actually did swings, left arm first, right arm second,
okay,
and then ran.
Okay, you have to be a little careful on the first movement. Universally, I think most people can squat and then do something. And then with a kettlebell, swings and do something. With a kettlebell, now we're, as you can see, I'm continuing this away. Less people can do kettlebell snatches and do something. Less people can do cleans with a barbell and do something.
Is it because of that phenomenon? Like when you were a kid, someone would say, rub your belly and your top of your head at the same time, and you can't do it? Is it that?
Well, you need a lot of time on the first movement. We've also experimented with things like deadlifts, you know, where you deadlift and then sprint away. And for most people, that is a really good, informative thing for them to do. By the way, that works really well with the sled, especially one tied around your waist.
Dan, hold that thought for a second. With the deadlift, the sled, and then running away, I want to pick up when we come back. We got to take a quick commercial break. We're talking today with Coach Dan John. We're talking about Sergei Litvinov's contribution to strength and conditioning. This is going to be a great show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com. NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Did you know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? That's right. Go to the iPhone store and download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Look. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that Primordial Performance is having a one-week sale. It started yesterday on the 14th. And it will continue for 1 week. Everything on their website is up to 40% off. They've got some great products. Not just strength and muscle builders. They've got a great antioxidant, berry-based antioxidant product. They've got one of the finest vitamin E products out there. It has all eight factions of vitamin E, tocopherols and tocotrienols. It's called Toco 8. Check it out. Go to primordialperformance.com. Take advantage of the 40% off discount. We're talking today with Coach Dan John. We're exploring the teachings of Sergei Litvinov and his contribution to strength and conditioning. Dan, before we went into the break, you were talking about doing deadlifts with a sled and then running off with a sled.
Well, yeah, and so you can kind of see the progress we've kind of gone on this. You know, originally we tried the front squat and then that kind of striding 400 meters. But then over time, you know, we played around with it to, you know, incorporate more and more things, including using the sleds, which are, you know, the sleds work great. Again, you have to have some background in the movement. If you have if you strap onto a sled and you've never done a snatch before, well, you can't do it. You know, it's going to be too complex. But strapped into a sled, you can do double front squats with a kettlebell. You can do front squats. You can do overhead squats. There's a picture of me on the web doing it with some overhead squats. But the deadlift is very low end, you know, pretty simple exercise.
Yeah.
So if you want to try sleds for the first time, and do this idea, then, you know, you could do, deadlifts. The one little thing people are going to miss the first time, you'll learn the lesson quickly, but let me share it with you, is that the barbell cannot be in the path of the sled.
Yeah. That's what I was just thinking of.
And I say that, and it's funny because you learn it the first time, but it's not good for you or the equipment to run fast a sled into a barbell. And so,
but it must be funny as hell to watch.
Oh, that's part of the joy of this stuff. You know, and when people will ask me, it's funny, people say, well, what muscle does it build or some idiocy like that? And it's not, or even what system does it build? Well, it builds the system that makes you great in sport. It builds the system that allows you to go from one thing to the other. And really, I mean, if you use the hunter paradigm as from humans, it's what a hunter does. You go from one thing to the next thing immediately. You know, if you're a hunter with a spear, you have to go from, say, sprinting or jogging to throwing instantly. You don't stop, change shoes, and then throw the javelin at the deer, right?
Right.
You just stop and fire. One of the things you start to pick up when you do this is that the volume of this workout is very short. Three good efforts is probably the most people honestly do. So you were talking about three sets in a workout. Could it be the whole workout? Yeah, I've done that many times. So when you do something like a set of eight with a reasonably tough squat movement, followed by a really hard push sprint, doing that three times is pretty solid. I mean, I'm sure there's people going to do more, but I always emphasize on this workout absolute quality over everything else.
Right.
Quantity takes a
give the
real
sprint. Give the sprint everything you got. Don't try to save it right. So you can do five sets or six sets. Give the sprint everything you got. But that
right.
And I found that. I mean, I was huffing and puffing walking back to those kettlebells. I mean,
yeah.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how far I sprinted. I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I'm 51. I'll be 52 soon. So I wasn't trying to break any records or anything like that. But I gave it I sprinted between two light poles in the park. They're pretty far apart. And when I got to the other end, I was out of breath. I mean, I was really.
We don't measure the sprint at all because. And I've worked with people like these kind of, these guys who climb mountains and stuff like that, and they can really push this slow sprint a long way.
Right.
You know, it's kind of one step from jogging, but it was like it takes a couple workouts for them to realize that they're just doing something that allow them to go a long ways. It's not the workout. That's not the workout.
Right.
We're trying to, in fact, I've done the workout where you really try to sneak right up on the edge of, like in a front squat. Now, the problem is if you do it outside, you know, you have to clean that front squat
right
first. So now you're running some other issues. But so if, say, like 225, if you can get 10 front squats with 225, and if you sneak up on that eighth one where you're starting to kind of catch, things are starting to catch as you come up, and then sprint away, you're not going to get that. Pushing the squat in that case really makes for an interesting sprint because – you know, now you're coming into a sprint really fatigued, and you have to really relearn how to go fast for a few seconds.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that's interesting. I've never really sprinted a whole lot on Earth. I mean, I've done sprints on treadmills, and I've done fast elliptical machine work like most of us have. But for those of us out there who don't normally sprint, you need to acclimate yourself to the sprint first, because if you've never sprinted and you just burst into a sprint, you'll really impress the hell out of yourself, like, wow, I'm going really fast. Well, the next day, your glutes and your hip flexor muscles will punish you.
Yeah.
If you're not used to sprinting, it's something that you need to gradually adapt to as well, especially if you're going to do deadlifts or front squats and then sprint for the first time in 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think everybody needs it. At the least, one sprint-like workout every 2 weeks.
And I'll tell you, sprinting is one of those things that you really need to know how to do, because God forbid you find yourself in a situation where you got to run fast and you're not used to running fast, you're going to find yourself really in a scary situation.
Exactly. And I also, what it does for you physically or physiologically probably is amazing. You can really, people always ask me about fat-burning workouts, and I always tell them, run 300 honest 400 meters. Well, how long should I rest in between? And I'll just laugh, because I know they haven't tried it. I know they haven't tried it. If you run an all-out 400 meters, your recovery may be days. The lactic acid hit from, say, the 200-meter mark to the finish, you might be thinking you're going as fast as you can, and your friends will be laughing their butts off because the bear will be on your back, and it's hilarious to watch.
Right.
The amount of... And, of course, lactic acid, if we could bottle it and sell it, is the best fat burner there is.
Right.
And the problem is it hurts so much to get it. That's why no one wants it,
And and Michael Boyle did a show with me, and we talked about satellite cell differentiation, muscle fiber differentiation. When you sprint, the fibers that are still influenceable will be influenced to change so that there's a greater degree of hypertrophy in the muscle. Sprinting is really a good thing to do. Not enough people sprint. Everybody does these long, arduous, pacing themselves, and you really need to start moving quickly, briskly.
Carl, you just summarized. If everybody is doing something, by God, don't. if your grandma is doing long elliptical workouts and still huge, there's a good... The world is trying to indicate something. Everybody always wants medium. Everyone always wants, you want to do the elliptical for 6 minutes, every day and think you're working out. No one wants to spend time on those odd ends of the power laws.
Right.
I can guarantee you this. One all-out 400-meter is going to do more impact on you than, honest to God, hours.
And I was going to say, that's evidenced by, take your pulse before you do it. Take your pulse after you do it. Take your pulse an hour after you did it. Take your pulse 3 hours after you do it. You'll find that your pulse rate is still elevated 3 hours after sprinting because of the changes in your physiology are dramatic from sprinting.
Exactly. And the one thing, I was getting ready for this thing a couple of years ago. My brother Gary gave me some good advice. He said, which is, if you really want to train, just train to be a 200-meter runner. Because if you can sprint 200 meters, you can extend that out to 800 meters easily. 1600 is easy, too. And really, honestly, if you can sprint 200 meters, you can probably run a marathon if you feel like it. But who would want to do that? But the opposite is not true. If you take somebody who's a marathon runner and you time them in the 200, you need a sundial for it, for God's sake,
Right. Yeah, that's good. Where was Sergei from?
Oh, he says he was a Soviet.
Okay. Did all the Soviets train like this, or was he unique?
No. That's one of the great things about it. There's so many myths about the Soviet Union training. I can only talk about a few. I'm actually good friends with his arch competitor, Yuri Sadik. And Yuri Sadik, if you read the book, I talk about my new book too, the 40-day workouts. These guys were, Yuri Sadik and Bondarchuk were kind of famous for these, repeatable workouts where you do the same lift, probably, you do the same five lifts, maybe 40 workouts in a row with very small changes. You just got in the weight room, you did a few sets of this, a few sets of that, and you went home. And Litvinov was in a totally different world. So this idea that the Soviet Union had one box of training is not true. And the you know the more work I do with Pavel, the more work I time I spend studying. The powerlifter's a little bit more honest than anybody else. That's why I study their stuff.
Yeah.
You'll notice that there's really only one, maybe two schools of Olympic lifting training now. But in powerlifting, there's dozens. And so you get this real chance through powerlifting to see how many different ways you can approach the same three simple movements. So, no, Litvinov did things differently. A guy named Nikulin did a lot of light ball throwing. A guy named Yuri Tom threw kettlebells as his training program.
He threw kettlebells, like a hammer, in other words. He threw kettlebells.
Yeah, well, one time I was at College of San Mateo when the Soviet national team was there, and I was sitting up there watching him. And I didn't know what the thing he had was, but now I'd call it a kettlebell. And he just kind of walked up and down the field throwing it about, I mean, every way you can imagine, left-handed, right-handed, over his head, through his legs, you know. And then I later saw some videos of the German javelin throwers doing the same things. So the important point is this, is that there's no question that many roads can get you to your goals, which is why there's Nautilus training. Some of the principles still work for some people. You know, the high-intensity stuff, they still work.
Right.
German volume training still works for some people. You know, I'm a low-carb guy. My friend Lyle McDonald can explain it better why I'm a low carber, because of it, that's the way I'm built.
Right.
You know, I thrive in a low carb environment.
Do you think you changed as you got older? Because I'm a low. I have to eat low carb now because I can't tolerate carbohydrates any longer.
Well, let me just say this: back in the '70s, at Utah State, I came in at 7.9% body fat. I weighed 218 and threw the discus 190. And I was the smallest discus thrower at meets until you realized if you went by body fat, I had a lead on it. I was bigger than everybody else. I just wasn't fat.
Right.
Well, then I was given information by some guys at the United States Olympic Center to eat more carbs. My body weight shot up to 273, and I didn't throw as far.
But it was all because it was all fat, right?
It was all fat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I've been a low carber my whole life, and I got some really bad advice. Yeah, I don't want to step on any Lyle's thunder, but I think people are more psychologically maybe there's some psychological issues with dieting, and maybe the way you're born is more important. I'm not saying the O, you know, the O, the A, the B, and the AB diet, you know, whatever that became, blood typing.
Right, AO, APO diet, right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, some of that I don't have a problem with it. I think there's probably some truth in it, you know what I'm saying? But I think there's a lot of factors in there. And so many roads can get you there, but the important thing is to find the right one. You know, I mean, you can go from this school to that school to this school to that school and never get very far. Or you might luck out and just find the perfect training program for you. And you might luck out and hit the right diet. And you're miles, of course, if you're like me, though, when you get the right diet and the right training program, you get bored quickly and try something else.
And that's what a lot of people do, actually. A lot of times people stumble onto what works, but then they're so anxious to change it up that they bypass the potential benefits. Listen, Dan, we got to take a break. Hold your thought there. When we come back, we'll talk more about the nutritional aspect. And I want to get more into Sergey Litvinov a little bit as well. We're talking today with Coach Dan John. You can get a copy of his book at DaveDraper.com. It really is a great book. I promise you that if you buy this book, you'll fall in love with it. Never Let Go. It's not only filled with great information about training, but it's just a great book about life's lessons. Pick it up, okay? We'll be right back. NutriPlanet.com has the best of what the supplement industry has to offer. NutriPlanet.com carries all the top brand names at the best prices. They carry iForce Nutrition, PES, Primordial Performance, and more. Take advantage of some special deals on Anabeta, Dexaprine, Andromass, and exclusive stack deal. Go to NutriPlanet.com today to learn more. NutriPlanet.com, the best discount bodybuilding supplements and fat burners available online. The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to IronMagLabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies, and no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekdays.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
All right.
It's 84 beautiful degrees here in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. I think I'm going to get out to the pool later today after I do my Litvi squats. Hey, you know what? That's another thing you got to be careful about. If you live in a really hot climate like this, you may want to be careful doing Litvi squats and sled runs and stuff like that, huh?
Well, the biggest problem we have is that the bar gets so hot. You know, in Utah, we're high desert, so in the summer, it's up at 120.
Yeah.
And it's just sun on the bar, and we've had people actually burn their hands. We think it's funny, but it's something. So when we work outside with kettlebells in the bar, we have to keep a towel or a T-shirt on top of them.
Yeah, I bet. Let's talk about Sergey Litvinov for a second. First of all, his event was the hammer, right? He was a hammer thrower?
Yeah, four-turn hammer thrower, yeah.
But he was kind of unique for a hammer thrower, right? He was smaller than a lot of the guys that he was throwing against.
Yeah, he was about 90 kilos, about 198, 196. I mean, he got bigger, but not much. He was about 5'10". Sadiq was a little, quite a bit taller, probably 3 inches maybe. But he's very – Litvinov was very fast. Oh, my gosh.
And everybody pretty much attributes his abilities as an Olympic athlete to his style of training, right?
Well, the one thing the Soviets did well in the hammer is if you were a hammer thrower, you threw the hammer. And I know it sounds crazy to everybody. But, at a high school, it's like a high school track program. You know, you get this boy as a freshman, you teach him the shot put. A couple weeks later, throws the discus, and then – he plays football, wrestles. The next year, he picks up. Well, in the Soviet Union, they throw the hammer all 4 years of high school, and then the hammer after that, and they throw the hammer. So one of the things he was able to come up with was he was in a lot of hammer-throwing track meets his whole career, and that's a huge advantage. People forget sometimes Lance Dealer, silver medalist at the Olympics here in the United States of Atlanta. He's now the coach, the throws coach up at Oregon. You know, he didn't pick up the hammer full-time until he was out of college. So you can only imagine what a tremendous athlete Lance Diehl is. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of factors. You know, it's always hard. Causal is always a tough one in the Olympic sports. You know, you notice you don't get a lot of Olympians in the, you know, the swimming events from northern Canada. You know, there are lots of factors
right.
for success.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, he was, I mean, there was also that moment in time. There was a great moment in time where there was a discus throwing was stunning. In fact, he was during that great moment where the hammer throw literally re-changed. It became a different event because of a technical change. And so he was right there.
What was that technical? What was that technical change?
Well, instead of dragging the ball, you let the ball take you. And it's funny because when you look at the old style and the new style, you might not see it, but you can see it. You can see it by the numbers. You know, the world record at one time being 235. I mean, that wouldn't win a college meet now. It's 286. I mean, it's 286 now.
Wow.
I throw a 16-pound ball 286 feet. I mean, you know, these guys like Sadiq and Litvinov, they took it from 251 to 262 to 265 to 270 to 280. So, I mean, they were talking, you know, next time they're on a football field, you know, go from the goal line to what, almost the 20, I guess it is? I mean, that's on the other 20.
Right, the other, I was going to say, right, yeah.
Long ways. So, you know, you never know what causes something to explode like
that. Boy, that really is, and I just imagined that. I thought about that. That really is a long distance.
Long ways, yeah.
For a projectile to fly, you know, that's not being shot out of a cannon.
Right. Well, you know, at my peak in the discus, you know, if I was on the goal line and you were at the 50, I'd throw it way over your head.
Really?
If you're at the 40, yeah. If you're at the 40, I'd still throw it way over your head. And you were in danger of getting, you know, beaten badly between the 30 and the 35. On the up, you know, all the way back, yeah. So, and people have thrown farther than that. So, yeah, it's, when you use the football field as an eyeball, it does help a lot.
It crystallizes the distance we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the case of Litvinov, I mean, he apparently came up with this style of training where he took an anaerobic movement and combined it with an aerobic movement.
Well, again, when you start talking about pathways, you have to be careful because who knows what it is. You know, it's like, when you go, I always talk about the important thing about it isn't, it's the gear change that's important. The gear change from going from a heavy squat to a sprint. When you do it, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you'll feel like you've never worked your legs like that before.
Oh yeah, it takes you probably the first 15 or 20 strides to actually get your legs to cooperate.
Yeah.
After doing, because what I was doing was I was doing goblet squats and I was doing swings and then running off, and the first 15 or 20 strides really are awkward. It's almost like, hey, look at me, I'm running. You know, it's like,
exactly.
You look a little goofy, actually. So.
Yeah, and that's, to me, that's the more important thing. Because, you know, to be honest with you, I always struggle when we start throwing words like anaerobic and lactic and alactic, because honestly, it's so hard to find out what really is going on in an athlete. That's why there's so much information about cardio junk. Because it's easy to test someone in an endurance event. You put them on a treadmill, or a bicycle, and you can take blood profiles while they're on it. You can put them on an oxygen mask.
Right.
You try to do that to somebody doing a back squat. You know, put an oxygen mask on somebody while they're trying to squat 600 pounds.
Right.
See how they do. Take a blood draw while somebody's snatching.
Yeah, biopsy a muscle. Right.
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, you know, it's just so I've always I don't want to say I look down. That's not true. I just know we're not there yet. We've got a long ways to go before we know any idea what we're talking about. And that's why those of us in the weight room are so far ahead of no offense to the researchers, but so far ahead of the researchers. It's because they don't have the tools yet. I can tell you what's going to get you better. They don't have they can study it and say, yeah, we think you're right, but they don't have the tools to tell, you know, to turn around and tell me, now try this. You know, if you follow that.
Yeah,
the research.
Because in the gym, we're looking at results that is measurable on our playing field, whatever that happens to be, if it's adding reps, adding weight, or whatever, they're looking for biological reactions that would elucidate why you're making progress. And, and we don't and the truth is, we don't really care why in the end, right? As long as we know what we're doing is making us better and stronger, that's all we really care about.
Well, it's like that whole, I remember one time talking to somebody about testosterone, and they said that this product, you know, shows that there's more testosterone in the bloodstream. And this researcher said, well, that just means there's more testosterone in the bloodstream. It doesn't necessarily, it's supposed to be somewhere. Being in the bloodstream doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. And I thought, wow. So now something that simple is 1,000 times more complicated than I just made it. So, you know, when you're doing a set of squats, you're going to do 10 back squats with 750 pounds, no belt, no wraps, no spotter. And I'm going to come away with the conclusion that you're really, really strong. You know?
Yeah.
And you're probably strong enough to do any damn thing you want.
Right.
You know, for me to help you in your given sport, I'm thinking strength isn't one of the things we're going to work on.
Right.
How you got there is you might as well start talking about miracles and theology, to be honest with you. You'll probably have a clearer idea talking about miracles than you will about how you get to a 700-pound squat for 10.
What are the movements that you like to teach your athletes to incorporate into the Litvi sprint? You know, what do they do when they sprint away?
Okay, let's kind of go in order from the basic one, and then we'll move you up, okay? For the basic sprint, you'd go goblet squat, and then the double kettlebell front squat. And then I would move you to the bar, front squat, and then overhead squat. And I wouldn't go much beyond that. However, if you have an Olympic lifting background, it is an interesting thing to do a snatch or clean and jerk and sprint away.
Really?
It's very interesting. But it's just interesting. It's not good.
What do you mean it's not good?
Because you have this hyper complex movement followed by sprinting. So why did you just take two good things and turn them into one bad thing? Whereas, you know, you're doing double kettlebell front squats. It's pretty low on the thinking list. You know,
right.
You could pretty much, your nervous system doesn't have to be hotwired to do a double kettlebell front squat, but it does do an Olympic snatch.
And then sprint. And then I remember in the book that you started actually having guys sprint uphill. That's got to be torturous.
Well, the uphill thing works if you have a hill close. That's where the sleds came from. I used to have a place that had a hill, then I had a place that didn't have a hill, so the sled stepped in to do that for us. So all sleds are is running uphill. That's all they are.
Right.
And I'm not a believer in heavy sleds at all. I think if you have more than a 45-pound plate on a sled, you're just BSing yourself. You know, don't impress me with a 700-pound sled pull. It's nonsense. You know, because when you're going that slow, you're wallowing. You're not sprinting.
Yeah.
You know, and you really just want to mimic what it'd be like going up the hill. Well, and then of course I did mention deadlifts. Deadlifts have a value for some people in the Litva sprints. Now, when you go to a sled, then you have to really start to simplify things down. The two kettlebell move.
Yeah, so in other words, when you start making the sprint more challenging, You have to give up something on the preceding movement.
There you go. That's exactly it. So, and the thing is nice though, and if all the listeners get is this, if you do a simple squatting move followed by a sprint, you're so far ahead of the rest of the pack, they can't see your desk.
Okay.
You know, you are.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to apply, and I'm going to really, really demand something from you that we didn't talk about before and see if we can come up with something together. What can a guy do in a gym? He doesn't have a big field. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more.
I got you covered.
Okay. We're going to be talking more with Coach Dan John when we come back. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Have you been on superhumanradio.com lately? Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to superhumanradio.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Here's the thing. If you want to know more cool stuff like we're talking about today on the show, but you don't want to wait for me to come up with a show to talk about it, get Coach Dan John's book, Never Let Go. Go to DaveDraper.com. The book is great. I know I'm giving it a total pimp job, but what Dan doesn't know is that most nights I read his book before I go to sleep, and I just crack it open. And wherever I crack it open, I just start reading, and there's always something great. I always come away learning something, and sometimes it has nothing to do with training. Sometimes it's my day took a hot steaming one on me, and then I read something in Dan's book, and it's like, you know, I need to look at things differently. You need to get this book, Never Let Go. Fantastic book. Go to DaveDraper.com and pick it up. All right, Dan. So I'm an average guy. I go to 24-hour fitness. How do I use this?
Well, yeah, actually, that's something I developed about following up on this. I came to the same problems myself. And what we developed is a thing called Eagles, and then, of course, double Eagles, something you might not be able to do in a gym. But Eagles are where you take two kettlebells or two dumbbells and you do front squats, okay? And then you farmer walk them, and then you do more front squats, and then you farmer walk them. So farmer walker is where you put them down your sides and you carry them.
Yeah.
And what happens in a gym setting is it's weird because you get kind of some different benefits. It's the same but different, okay? So the eagle, and it's named after that our school mascot, the eagle is simply double front squats for 8, walk about 20 meters, 20, you know, or so, whatever. And you stop, and then you try to do another set of eight front squats.
So in other words, the farmer's walk are almost like the sled pull. I mean, you're creating a demand on the body to move against an immovable force, basically, which is the weight of the dumbbells.
You just whatever you the upside is you changed instead of doing a set of 16, you did a set of 8, and then did something radically different, loaded, and that's kind of where you want to do it. The funny thing about the Eagle for most people is that they'll say later on, this is 100 times harder than I thought it would be. On paper, this is and what you're supposed to do in the actual Eagle workout is 8 sets of 8. And here's the kicker: you don't put the dumbbells or kettlebells down.
Never put them down.
So you're resting your
man.
Grip.
Your forearms must be totally.
No, because see, you rest your grip when you're front squatting.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Oh, wait, follow what I just said though. While you're front squatting, you're resting your grip. And when you're walking, what are you resting? So you never rest.
Right.
So it's a set of 60. It's a set of 64 front squats.
Wow! If you want to look cool in your gym, do this. I could. I'm going to do it because you know what? I compressed a nerve. I did something really stupid a few weeks ago. I got on that seated trap machine. You know, you load it with plates and you sit down and then you do shrugs with it.
Okay, I don't, yeah.
I when I rolled into place, I compressed one of my vertebrae, and that night I had severe pain running down my legs and then numbness, and then literally I felt, if I didn't know better, I would have thought I had a stroke. I couldn't walk literally for a couple days.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. Well, everything's come back except my hips. My hips are still wobbly. When I go up stairs or when I do certain things like lunges, my knee wants to just fly out. My hip just wants to open up. And I remember reading in someone's book, maybe it was yours, that farmer's walks, while they're really good for your traps and your grip work and so on, they're fantastic for your hips.
Well, here's a quick little hint for you. If your gym has it, if it has a matted floor at all and there's a line, try to walk the line like Johnny Cash would tell you. Try to put your left foot, your right foot, your left foot, your right foot on the line.
And while farmer walking, you mean? With
mm-hmm.
weight?
And what that does is it makes your hips swing through.
Yeah, I could see that.
Now, they say you know you have a correct walking gait is when you do only leave one line of footprints. And you can almost look behind you at a beach and instantly, you know, do a functional movement screen. You know, if you've got one foot pointed out and then the other foot's, you know, 18 inches away, pointed in, and you think you're walking straight, you got some massive hip issues. And so when you walk, you should leave one line of footsteps on the beach.
I used to be able to do that, but when I normally farmer walk 150s, and
okay.
I love farmer's walk because I just think it's a fantastic overall movement.
Sure.
I picked up 100-pound dumbbells the other day, and my right leg did not want to cooperate. It just kept tracking out. The toe kept pointing out. The leg kept going out. It was just, and I would try to pull it in, and I would have a hard time stabilizing myself. I had to really consciously focus on walking. It was unbelievable.
Well, try this straight line technique. And the funny thing is, see, your leg's coming out. When you walk on the line, your adductors have to be hyperfiring. They have to be wide awake, and that's going to help you over time. If you're injured, you're injured, you know. But if telephone and a doctor call here, but if walking the line is going to really wake up those adductors, really wake them up, and force that right leg to keep coming over. And you'll notice that at first your right hip will be a little squirrely, but then, you know, because it's going to have to come over the top. But that's why the walking the line with farmer walks, really underrated little technique I just told you. Really,
I'm going to try it. And I've got a good friend, Carmella, who lives up in Canada, who's also recovering from some hip surgery.
Yeah.
And she just messaged me a couple minutes ago saying that she's going to start doing that too. Thank you for tell Coach Dan John, thank you. I'm going to do those too.
No, it's the simple technique. And the other thing I make sure your shoulders are back, your head is up, you know, you're walking proud. You know, all those little things you were told in posture class, they really are correct. They really are correct in that tracking down the one line. And here's it's an instant feedback, too. If you can't do tracking down one line, the intelligent athlete will ask themselves, why can't I track down one line? And by the way, it's completely okay to use your brain while you're training. There's nothing wrong with it. And so, if you can't walk a line and you've got 300-pound weights in each hand, well, maybe the world is trying to tell you to get down to 100-pound plates in each hand. That's just a real quick one. You know, it's funny, I've got my interns, I've given them their assignment this week is to work on a progression of plank exercises, hinging exercises, and walking or gait exercises. A progression so if someone comes in injured to them, they can walk them through a basic, you know, push-up position plank to a star plank to a get-up to whatever. And the gait stuff is funny because it's like to think about walking again. We've been talking about Linfit sprints all day, Litvinov and sprinting. But, you know, you have people listening who really need to go back to walking on a straight line.
Yeah.
One of the things I do on the campus here, I try to, you know, we have these long linoleum hallways, you know, these great hallways, and they have that little seam. Well, you just try to just walk down, look at the seam, walk for a while, then take your eyes off and see how many steps you can go before you start tracking right.
In other words, stop looking at the line and try to walk on the line.
And it's funny because you know you're doing it, and within about six steps, you're two linoleums over. What? In six steps? I mean, how did my body?
I mean, that really speaks to proprioception. I mean, you know, your brain is not hinged up properly to the muscles, and that in of itself is great exercise. That. Okay, yeah. So one of the things that people can do if they want to take advantage of this Litvinov-esque. Mm-hmm. movement, but they're in a gym, is the Eagles. And that is basically take a set of dumbbells and do front squats with them and then immediately drop them to your side and then farmer walk them for 20 or so meters and then stop and do front squats again and just do that 8 times.
Now, if you can go back and forth. Now, here's the thing, and listeners, listen carefully. Be gentle the first time. You know, don't be afraid to rest. And here's the thing. If you do that work, if you just do the 8 sets of 8 in the front squat and you do all those farmer walks, well, what else do you need to do?
You're done for the day, you mean?
Yeah, we'll do the workout. Let me know.
Okay, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm actually going to do it tomorrow, okay? I've been walking to the gym to rehabilitate my legs, so I'm going to walk to the gym tomorrow. It's 2 miles each way. I'm going to walk to the gym. I'm going to do this where I'm going to do any of you who live in Phoenix that happen to train at Pure Fitness off of McClintock and Warner. I'm going to be up there tomorrow morning around 8 a.m. And if you want to see an idiot in practice, come watch me do Eagles. What are double Eagles? What do you do with double Eagles?
Now, double Eagles are a little bit more fun. A double Eagle is when you do the same workout, but you drag a sled.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Now, here's the thing. When you take a farmer bar and drag a sled, it becomes a almost total hamstring butt workout. Because when you step forward, there's no momentum. So you ever run around on a I'm sitting on a chair with wheels on it.
Right.
Have you ever gone forward, done that hamstring workout where you run, in a rolling chair
I've heard about it. I know you're sitting in a chair with wheels, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and then you kind of walk down
and you crab walk it, right? Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's like that. See, cuz when you're farmer walking with a sled, every step there's no momentum, so with that front foot has to grab the earth
and
pull everything over to the left foot. And then that has to pull everything over. And so your hamstrings get this hellacious workout. And then you go to the other end, your front squat, which, of course, just hits everything in a different way. So the double eagle is doing that with the sled. Okay?
Wow, and so that's your glutes. I mean, you know what? And there's a lot of people out there who train very hard. I'd love to see some people try this and email me after they try it. I would love to hear about it because I got a funny feeling that this is this pushes the body to a whole new limit. Hey Dan, we've come to the end of the interview. Those of you out there, again, I know I've said it numerous times, but I cannot tell you how happy you will be if you get this book. Pick up the book over at DaveDraper.com. Never Let Go, Dan John's book. It's filled with stuff like this. It's an amazing book. That's all I can say. And I want to thank you for writing it. I want to thank you for writing it because it's something that I really enjoy, and I literally read it every week. I read two or three nights. I pick that book up and just crack it open and read it, and I always get something good out of it.
I get some interesting emails about the same thing. I had one guy who said for Lent he was going to read a chapter a night. By Saturday, the first week, he was done with the book. He said, I couldn't put it down.
That makes perfect sense. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for taking time out and coming on the show today, huh?
All right, let's talk again soon. Okay,
very good, Dan. All right, so there you have it. Coach Dan John, wonderful guy. Get his book, Never Let Go. You can get it over at DaveDraper.com. I promise you'll enjoy it. We'll see everybody tomorrow. We got a great show tomorrow. We're going to be talking nutrigenomics, how supplements and nutrition can change your genetic outcome in this life. You're not trapped by your genetics. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow with Dr. Michael Smith from LEF.org. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Now.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
This is an important show, very, very important show. But before we get started, I have to mention something. About a week and a half ago, I said that I was going to buy two plants and water one of them with previously microwaved water and one of them with just out-of-the-jug bottled water to see if what my guest that day, I can't believe I forgot his name, Richard, I want to say Thomas, said that the once you microwave water, it changes it molecularly, and if you water a plant with it, it will die. And I didn't necessarily believe it or not believe it, but I tried it myself. Well, I've got bad news. First of all, neither of the plants looked really bad. The one that got the microwave water was just as robust for the first 9 days of the test. And living here in Phoenix, I know a lot of people have emailed me and posted on the board what's going on with the plants. Well, they both died. I forgot to water them one day. And in the hot Phoenix sun, both of them died. Ergo, I am not the type of person that should be performing experiments like this. I'll leave it to the scientists. But what I can say about it is that the plant that was getting the microwave water did not look like it was suffering, dying, wilting. It was just as robust as the other one. So for 8 days, it didn't affect it, that's for sure. Okay, now we're going to talk about something a bit more important. My guest today is Crispin Sullivan. She's been on the show before. How are you doing, Crispin?
Good to speak with you again.
Yes, and we're talking about a very important subject, something that is not discussed openly in this day and age, but it's something that is critical to understand. And it's about a hidden component in some foods that actually could be precipitating inflammation and maybe at the root of much of the inflammation in the Western-style diet, which is very, very carbohydrate-centric. We're talking about lectins today. For my listeners, Crispin, first explain what a lectin is.
A lectin is a glycoprotein, which is a combination. We have lipoproteins, which are protein-fat combinations, and then glycoproteins are carbohydrate-protein combinations. And they're a very tightly bound together protein. So you would find them in you'd find them in high amounts in foods that vegetarians would call high protein. So there's a lot in legumes, peas. They exist in all foods,
right,
including meat.
Right.
But they're abundant in food carbohydrates that contain protein.
Right. Now, my first exposure to lectins was one of the shows I did with Dr. Lauren Cordain, the promoter of the Paleolithic diet. He also is a professor at Colorado State, I believe. And he was the first one to kind of talk to me about lectins. I had not known anything about them. And the way he positioned it made it sound like that lectins were naturally occurring pesticides designed to keep bugs from perhaps eating potatoes and beans and stuff like that. And they were toxic. Are lectins really toxic?
That's a very limited view. There are certain substances in all foods and plants, all European and olive leaf, which are natural insecticides. But no, that's not their only role. Kidney bean is famous because kidney bean lectins can kill you, as ricin.
Right. Wasn't that the first lectin discovered by Dr. Peter Stillmark, I want to say? The very first one was ricin, R-I-C-I-N.
Well, that I can't answer that. I don't know that. But since that time, certainly the lectins have been become a field in and of themselves, because when we genetically engineer something, what we engineer are the proteins, which are the lectins.
So now, and we were going to talk more about GMO and its influences here as well in a moment. But just staying with the whole lectin story, lectins tend to have some toxicity. Is that correct?
No.
No.
Well, in certain situations, certain lectins are toxic, yes. But all lectins absolutely are not toxic.
Okay. Are the lectins found in lots, like plant source lectins, like those found in legumes or in potatoes, let's say, are those toxic?
Not in the, not how we would think of a toxin, not like toxic shock syndrome or ricin, no.
Okay. Now, is it true?
That's not their problem. That isn't the problem
with lectins. Okay, so what is the problem with lectins?
Because they are a glycoprotein, if you can imagine, this is specifically within humans, but actually it also occurs in animals. And there is a picture of it on my website, on the CRISPN.com site, of the pig intestinal tract. I think that you've seen that.
Yes, I have.
And what happens is, in humans, just sort of to give you sort of the formation of it and develop it a little bit, in humans, they're designed to consume breast milk. Breast milk has lectins in it, but there are lectins that are, human tolerant,
okay,
shall we say.
Okay.
The human intestinal tract, when a baby is born, is not fully, it's semi-permeable in a not safe way up to 18 months of age.
Okay.
And during that period of time, there's a researcher in England who found that infants that were given cow's milk, which contains lectins, they're dairy lectins. They don't actually call them dairy lectins. I'm calling them that.
Right.
And what he believes happens is they're a protein. They are not easily digested. This carbohydrate protein bond that exists in this complex molecule is not broken down easily. And it is the belief of lectinologists that what occurs in the human body, in this instance in infants, is that it gets across that gut wall, not fully broken down, as a foreign protein, not as a simple polypeptides, but mm-hmm. as a complex protein, glycoprotein. The body begins making antibodies to it, and the structure of that glycoprotein is similar to the human pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
And these antibodies attack the human pancreas for and cause the onset of juvenile onset diabetes, which is where the pancreas itself is destroyed. Not
right.
insulin resistance, but where it's destroyed.
Right. It not no longer functions, right.
Right. And gluten, which is a lectin, absolutely causes antibodies in the human body to destroy the intestinal tract. Instead of identifying the gluten, but then the gluten attaches or structurally intermingles with the gut mucosa and causing an antibody reaction into people who are sensitive to this particular lectin. What is likely is that all of us tolerate some lectins and all of us don't tolerate some lectins.
So it may be like almost a polymorphism depending on what you were exposed to, your genetic past, maybe you tolerate some better than others.
5 to 7 generations ago.
Because I know that soybean lectins, which have, as you pointed out, agglutinin, I think they call it SBA, agglutinin, which is present in soy, it's a soy lectin, has been shown in some people to cause damage to the intestines, damage the small intestinal, what is it called, villi or villia?
Right, which is what the picture is on the website. In the lectin section, there's a picture of the intestinal tract. And what you see are two pictures of upper intestines. One of them is normal villi. The other one is villi that's been damaged by feeding pig soy. Now, when you think about the fact that pigs can eat anything, supposedly.
Right.
They cannot eat soy. In fact, the damage to the upper intestinal tract is so great that it would eventually result in no more pigs. So I find it appalling that people feed soy of any kind, soy nuts, those funny so-called raw soy beans.
Oh, yeah, edamame. That's all the rage amongst the metro
right.
Popular.
Right. It's to children, much less to adults.
Yeah, and that's part of my frustration about soy as well. I mean, so we know that soy causes lots of gastrointestinal distress, and now we're starting to see that soy lectins may actually be at the root of some diseases, perhaps like ulcerative colitis and irritable bowel syndrome. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Crispin Sullivan. You can learn more about Crispin's writing by visiting her website at krispin.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4
Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gain. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Crispin Sullivan about lectins. What is the risk of consuming lots of lectins? Some, perhaps more than others, should we be concerned about? We're talking right now about the lectins found in soy. Do you think that was an outlandish statement I made going into the break, that perhaps some of the IBS and ulcerative colitis that seems to be so popular today in young people could be linked to soy consumption?
It can be linked to two different lectin-related things. One part of it is lectins, but not necessarily soy. You have to remember that all carbohydrate, high protein foods contain high amounts of potential interactions with lectins that your ancestors would not have consumed and your body doesn't like. That's part one. And soy is certainly one of them, and trying to get people who, very few Americans ever traditionally consume soy, and one of the things about soy consumption in countries where it was a normal thing, it was always fermented soy, never non-fermented soy.
Huh.
And fermenting changes the structure of the lectin, making it much less interactive or reactive. There are no cultures that ever ate soy as soy, ever. They in Japan, it's fermented. Natto is fermented. Tempeh is fermented. Soy sauce is actually fermented.
Well, isn't it true that if you eat raw potatoes, they can make you sick, but when you cook them, obviously they're edible, and the reason for that is it changes the lectin.
Not everyone will get sick from eating raw potatoes. As a kid who used to eat a lot of them growing up, when I had to peel them.
Really?
Yeah.
You like the taste of them?
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe that's a proof that you could.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
No, but because there's a lot of things people like that aren't good for them.
Yeah, that's true.
But there, it's more your genetic history. Often the thing that makes a person dairy intolerant is the lectins in dairy. Not always, but many times, which would be found in the casein protein. But there are other people who easily tolerate dairy of any kind.
What?
And there are some people who can tolerate fermented dairy, but not unfermented dairy.
Well, now let's talk about dairy just a little bit more, because you raise an interesting point on your website when discussing lectins, and that is that there may be, let's say, a difference in the lectin landscape of milk produced by grass-fed cows versus cows that eat corn and grain, because corn and grain are high in lectins, and some of it passes through to the milk. Are you of that opinion? Is that correct?
It's a possibility. I wouldn't, I can't give you clinical research to say that, so I'm not going to stand behind it scientifically, but there is a possibility that that's true. But casein itself can be a problem for people whose ancestors did not consume dairy. Dairy is certainly one of, just dairy. Forget where the cow's grazed. Dairy, soy, and wheat are the three greatest food intolerances worldwide.
Right.
Having nothing to do with the Western diet, having nothing to do with any of that. In addition, there are lots of sensitivities to legumes. Legumes are not grown worldwide. We didn't shift and move things historically. So 5 to 7 generations ago, you ate what grew locally, and if you didn't tolerate it, you died. That's pretty much it.
Right.
So what you develop is an intestinal tract and a digestive system that works with the foods that are available for your survival. That's how it works.
Right.
And there are other things that go along with it. What I mentioned was the idea of fermentation. One of the biggest reasons that we see so much IBS and Crohn's and ulcerative colitis in the United States actually has more to do with the use of antibiotics and the loss of the human microbiome, that making people more sensitive to all lectins.
Interesting.
There is a profound interaction between what we would call friendly microbes and the deconjugation of food lectins, or even inhalant lectins, as in pollen, where these microbes are able to deconjugate or break apart this complex protein so that it is no longer causes autoimmune reactions.
Now, there also appears to be some sort of a linkage between lectins and inflammation. Is that correct?
Well, if you react to a lectin, you're going to inflame like crazy because your body perceives it as a foreign protein. When you get a splinter, you get inflamed like crazy, your body trying to get rid of it. If a foreign protein, a complex protein like a lectin, touches the gut wall in a sensitive person or in other people who have gut wall permeability because of chronic use of antibiotics or ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, some other damage to the intestinal tract, and that or in infants who have not yet built a barrier, and that jumps across, it can contribute to every type of autoimmune disorder and actual destruction of human organs, including children's autoimmune kidney disease, where the proteins, the antibodies destroy the kidney. Or in certain types of autoimmune arthritis, there's a strong connection that inflammation, those antibodies will then attack the joints.
And again, this is all stimulated from consumption of certain lectins.
Of lectins to which you are not tolerant. That really is the key. Whether your tolerance is genetic or induced because you have digestive problems. You know, you've been chronically taking antacids, which damage the intestinal tract, or you have a history of antibiotics, which have damaged your microbiome, that is the 100 trillion normal microbes that live in and on your body. Or you ate one kind of, like you can have a person who eats gluten and is genetically intolerant to gluten, And that damages the intestinal tract, so then other lectins are able to jump across into the body proper and then wreak other kinds of havoc. And so you become intolerant to them where you wouldn't normally have been, but because of the first stage damage, you now develop, it's exactly what you see in people who become intolerant to everything.
Yeah, right.
And have to go live in a glass bubble. All their barriers are gone, and frequently the initiators of that process are lectins, and it can be genetic or non-genetic in the sense that if certain barrier functions fail, whether you genetically can tolerate that or not, you now can't.
Can people reverse these, if someone has had a reaction to lectins over time, they've been ignorant of it, they've continue to eat certain foods that are not tolerated by them, and they've started to erode the lining of the stomach, for instance. Can that all be reversed just by eliminating those foods?
Yeah. Gluten intolerance, which is the most well-known and the most well-studied, or otherwise known as celiac sprue, is 100% reversible when you stop consuming foods that contain gluten.
And gluten basically comes from wheat, right?
Wheat, rye, oats, barley, malt.
And the interesting
grain
thing,
vinegar, grain alcohol.
You know what the interesting thing about all this is, as you're saying this, all of these foods, I'm going to call them foods for lack of better terms, became foods after the agricultural revolution and processing, because when Paleolithic human beings roamed the earth, they couldn't eat beans. They were too hard. They weren't going to sit and cook them. They didn't grind wheat. They didn't prepare. You know what I mean? It's like it wasn't until we started to go, we have to find other sources of food. Let's see if we can grind that up and eat it, that all of a sudden these things are introduced into our bodies. I don't believe we were ever designed to eat grain. Or corn,
guarantee you that you can survive without it.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think we were ever designed to eat corn. If you go out in a field and you assume that you don't have a stove, you don't have tools, and you come upon an ear of corn, and you try to bite into that hard ear of corn, you're going to throw it aside and look for something else edible. Maybe you'll eat the corn silk before you'd eat the actual corn itself.
Oh, you've never eaten sweet corn on a field in Illinois.
You mean it's soft out of the ground?
Oh, yeah. When it is ripe and ready and the kernels are small, it's the sweetest thing on earth, and it requires no cooking of any kind.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I stand corrected there.
There are two kinds. There are many kinds of corn, and sweet corn is different than seed corn. And what you're talking about is the kind of corn you see at Thanksgiving with the hard kernels.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the same kind of corn.
Okay. All right. But anyway, there are a lot of foods that we were just never designed to eat, and we had to figure out how to prepare them so that we could eat them.
Absolutely. You know, I still want to know who ate the first artichoke. I really want to know.
Well, you know what they say. It may have choked Artie, but it ain't going to choke me. But no, I actually like artichokes, ironically.
Me too. I love them. But I would never have thought of cooking one or needing it.
The best way to cook an artichoke is in a pressure cooker.
Good to know.
If you cook it in a pressure cooker, you can lift it out of the, once it cools, and eat it like an apple. The whole thing is edible when you cook it in a pressure cooker. It's just amazing.
Oh, that's especially
good
to know.
Yeah.
Because you get more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't have to fight with the leaves and just, you know, and tug the ends off. I mean, you can just eat the leaves and everything and just devour it and swallow it. And the good thing about artichokes, ironically, is artichokes are one of the few prebiotics. They actually promote healthy gut flora forming on its own without taking probiotics.
Well, any of the high-fiber vegetables will be a prebiotic.
Yeah, there you go. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about something else, and I didn't notice this on your website, but I want to talk a little bit about, there seems to be some evidence that lectins may cause leptin resistance, and leptin resistance, we know, or insensitivity, is leading to obesity in this country. We're talking today with Crispin Sullivan about lectins, these hidden things in our food that may be causing some problems. For those of you who have digestive issues, this is an important show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Kristen Sullivan. We're talking about lectins. There is some evidence that lectins may actually have an affinity to the leptin receptor. Are you familiar with this, Crispin?
I am familiar with the theory.
You sound like you don't necessarily agree with it.
Go ahead.
Well, no. Go ahead. Okay. No, I'm just saying that there seems to be some evidence that lectins may interact with the leptin receptor and could also be one of the components that influences obesity, because we know that leptin is a hormone that's produced that influences satiety, or, you know, satisfaction after a meal, and that obese people tend to become more and more leptin resistant or insensitive, and lectins may also influence that.
Okay. The person who's putting out this theory makes a number of statements that aren't true, so I have a hard time following the logic, but here's what I can tell you. If you eat lectins to which you are intolerant, and when we switch from what our ancestors eat, if Hawaiians eat Hawaiian food, they don't get fat. And there's a lot of carbohydrates in it, and they eat poi, they don't get fat. And researchers have put them back on their traditional diet. They're fine the same way with the Inuit, and it would be the same way for us if any of us could figure out actually who and what we were, which most of us now can't in the United States because we're a mix. We're all mutts.
Right, right.
But with our mutthood, we bring along these intestinal tracts that are designed for certain type of foods. Where you can connect obesity and lectins, and you can, is that leptin plays a role in modulating the human immune system, okay? And what we already know about lectins clinically is they can set off a signal of foreign protein invading, which causes antibody production, a heightening of the immune system, and all the other natural responses of exactly, it's the body chemical version of fight or flight. I'm being attacked. I got to do something about it. And you, as you know, it's real interesting. You know people who, when they're under stress, get so skinny they disappear, right?
Right. I used to be like that until I got smart. I started eating when I got stressed.
And then there are these other people who, when they get stressed, what happens?
They put on a lot of weight.
They put on a lot of weight, and they aren't necessarily eating that many calories. It's just that every calorie they eat goes to storage.
Right.
And that also is your genes. But there's no question that lectins cause an inflammatory response if they're not friendly lectins. No question. An inflammatory response can have a profound effect on leptin and leptin resistance and leptin production.
Okay. Now, what would you say about the current agrarian diet? Well, I don't even want to say agrarian. The current Western diet, the food pyramid that we should be eating primarily cereals and grains as the base of our diet, and how that influences lectin intake.
If you're going to do a lot of carbs, people are going to eat grains. There aren't a lot of, in Africa, until Archer Daniel Midland's and the like introduced grains, they ate a lot of squash. That was their carbohydrate.
Okay.
And did not have health issues. But squash can't be stored. You grow it, you eat it. You have to expend a lot of, it's very fresh food, right?
Right.
Grains you can put in a bin somewhere and store them for an extended period of time and
right.
take them out when you need them as long as the locusts don't eat them.
Right.
So there, it is a part of that culture, but what I tell my clients, I'm so politically incorrect. In every culture in the world, you give grains to the slaves and the serfs.
Really? Because, in other words, what you're saying is that is a lesser quality food, and then you give it to them.
It provides high calories at low cost. And since the serfs and slaves are working all the time, the enhanced physical activity tends to mitigate to a small amount the downside of the diet.
Gotcha. Sure, sure. Makes perfect sense.
But I can guarantee you that's not what the kings and queens or emperors are eating.
Right. Yeah, they're eating healthier choices.
Meat and fruit and vegetables and sauces and dates and nuts and the more complete, higher protein, more nutrient-rich foods.
But now look at me. I'm Italian. I don't eat a lot of pasta at all anymore. As a matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I had a bowl of pasta.
Pasta, you know, is Chinese, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. Of
Thank
course.
You.
Of course. But I mean, don't tell Marco Polo that. But anyway, The point I'm bringing out is that I don't eat a lot of pasta, but I have to believe that pasta is loaded with lectins because of durum wheat, you know, semolina. These are all loaded with lectins and gluten and everything else that's not, that we're talking about here, right?
Well, I just tell people pasta is white bread. Need I say more?
There you go. Okay. Yeah. And I really don't eat pasta. I really can't remember. I mean, I grew up in a household where we had pasta two or three times a week as a child. And I can't remember the last time I've had a bowl of pasta, probably in the past couple years, at least. So I stay clear of it entirely. What do you tell people about lectins when you're lecturing, when you're working with clients? What's the Reader's Digest version that you give them about lectins? Do you tell them to stay clear of them, watch them, be conscious of them, or just don't even worry about it?
Whatever you're eating, if you feel great and it's wonderful and your body works and everything works, your hair, your nails, your sex drive, your everything, whatever you're eating, I don't care, keep eating it. If you think that you're eating healthy, but you still have lots of issues, one of the things you need to look at is lectins, because we just don't tolerate all of them. Each of us are very individual in what we tolerate. I've had an amazing number of people since I put the website up where it kind of tells you what to do. There is no test for whether you tolerate a lectin or not. And the way you tell if a food is your friend or not, you eliminate it for 10 days. And not just it, but all foods in its family. So any, you know, wheat, anything containing wheat, rye, barley, oats, malt, dairy, all dairy, included fermented dairy, that kind of scenario where you eliminate all beans and legumes, not just soy, but all of them are out. Then on one day, eat a whole bunch of all different kinds. Like if you're testing gluten, have BLT and have pizza and have English muffin and, you know, and then don't eat it again for the next day and watch and see what happens. And you mentioned something before and you said intestinal. No, the symptoms are really interesting. One of the symptoms of gluten intolerance can be obesity with no other signs or symptoms at all.
Really?
One symptom of a lectin intolerance can be unbelievable mood changes. Sometimes it can be obvious. You know, you have diarrhea, but here's a story. In one of my classes, this girl, we were sure she was gluten intolerant. She stopped gluten. She ate it. And she said she knew that I was wrong because even though she had explosive diarrhea, she felt better than she had in 10 days. Well, what she had was an allergic addictive withdrawal response.
Right.
Where her adrenals were exhausted from chronically being under attack by gluten, so when she quit, her adrenals went down the tubes and she felt terrible. And when she ate the gluten, she felt better, but of course her bowel exploded. So what you see is the symptoms are not always anything at all to do with digestion. You know, they can be insulin resistance. They can be a thyroid disorder. Because if you're eating lectins, many autoimmune disorders, and believe me, in our culture we have tons, can be related to lectins that you're consuming. And if you stop consuming the lectins, the antibodies can disappear over a period of time.
Mm.
Freed's work with the kids showed that these kids were intolerant to the dairy lectin. It affected their pancreas. You can't bring back a pancreas or other organ that has been turned into scar tissue by antibodies or cut out of your body. But if you cut it off soon enough, things can repair.
What about tomatoes? Surprisingly, tomato is one of the deadly nightshade families. I didn't know that.
Yeah, tomato, potato, and eggplant, which it makes them a very weird family, if you ask me.
You know what's funny? My mother makes eggplant parmesan, and I make it, and I love it. But whenever I eat eggplant parmesan, the next day I feel hungover. I feel sick, and I don't sleep good that night either. And I bet you it's because I'm allergic to the eggplant.
What's interesting is that what I started to say about the website is I had a lot of people who were unaware of the lectins in potato. And they found when they quit eating potatoes, they really felt better. And they weren't eating raw potatoes. They were eating cooked
sure.
potatoes. And so, yes, to some extent, the whole bean thing of soaking and spilling and soaking and spilling does reduce it. But you know that, you know, the rotation diet. The idea behind a rotation diet is that if you don't eat a food frequently, then you won't make antibodies to it. It's like you're tricking your body. Mm. But what it doesn't take into account is, while that may be true, it still attacks your body as a foreign protein. So it really is not a good solution.
Right.
And the same thing goes for soaking. You may be getting rid of a lot of the lectins, so there's only a few left. But if they're lectins that you're not tolerant to, they're not what you want to be consuming. A gluten intolerant, a serious gluten intolerant who has serious celiac screw can consume vinegar, which is grain vinegar, made because most vinegars are made from grain. Like, even a lot of apple cider vinegars are fake. They're grain vinegar,
really?
With apple cider added. And the vinegar in most mayonnaises is grain vinegar. It's not. You can't have that because it contains lectins.
See, and that's the problem. The real problem is that these byproducts permeate everything. I mean, corn and soy permeate just about every food out there. Like, now look at this. I didn't even know about that. About the grain vinegar. So even when you don't think you're eating a grain byproduct, you are.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Grain, it used to be potato vodka, but most vodka now is wheat-based. It's grain-based. So unless you buy 100% potato vodka, it's like tequila. Unless it says 100% agave, it's got grain in it.
And I love what is it called? Pulque, which is made from the agave plant. It's a type of tequila.
Right.
Interesting.
So you have to be a label reader. I've worked with gluten intolerance, so it was very easy for me to fold into the general concept and handling of lectins for more than 30 years. But in America, until maybe 10 years ago, the first 20 years, my clients who were gluten intolerant could die going to a restaurant. Because even when they asked what was in the food, lots of the waiters or waitresses didn't know.
They don't know, yeah.
Or they'll lie to you because they think you're being fussy.
Yeah, I know. That's true, too. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We're talking today with Crispin Sullivan about lectins. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Vatogia, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge
no
them.
Two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market.
starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise, but that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar, not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you want to learn more about lectins, you can go to Crispin's website, krispin.com, and then click the lectin link. It's probably one of the most thorough compilations of all the information about lectins that you'll find on the internet by far. So check that out. Crispin, krispin.com. Crispin, you also mentioned something in here that I just want to kind of focus on for a second, and that is that you feel that pasteurization may make people more susceptible to the lectins that are in dairy. Why is that?
When you cook a protein, it's harder to digest.
So that is it simply that, or is it also the beneficial what are they called? Not pathogens, but the beneficial
microbes
that are in milk, like some of the immunoglobulins and so on.
Okay,
so
those
forth.
Aren't microbes. Microbes okay. are living organisms. It's possible those things are changed also. Certainly, there's a big difference between pasteurized and unpasteurized milk. However, in many countries where there is dairy intolerance, they have raw milk. I mean, they don't have any other kind of milk.
Right.
So it isn't just that. Cooking changes protein, and you know this if you look at an egg. If you cook an egg too long, or if you I loved your little story about microwaving water.
Oh yeah.
I don't know that it changes the water, but I can guarantee you that if you microwave something too long, it turns into something inedible.
Right. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So does cooking, but it just takes a lot longer.
Right.
When you're cooking.
Right.
So you can harden proteins. That's what you're doing, is you're hardening proteins, and since these are glycoproteins, hardening them makes them more difficult to digest. And what it's about is no one wants a whole protein of any kind, of any type, to cross the gut wall. Because any protein that crosses is going to be, your body's going to have to make antibodies to it because there's no system inside. You want things broken down into peptides, into protein particles.
Amino acids, right, exactly.
Before they go across the
gut
wall.
Right.
So anything that makes it more difficult to do that is can be at issue, and that becomes more true. The thought is that there are digestive enzymes present in raw foods, including raw milk, as well as those immune fractions, but even more than the immune fractions in this case would be things in it that help it break down. And those items could be further destroyed by heating. However, to make yogurt, you have to heat milk, and then you let the microbes digest it for you.
Right. And kefir, you just let it get room temperature. I like kefir better. What's the connection between, you know, there's a woman in England who's written a book about digestive problems and autism, neurotoxins that are not being broken down in the stomach but then circulating. What's the linkage between autism and lectins?
It's a specific type of autism she's talking about. It's called late onset autism.
Okay.
And
how late are we talking about when we talk about late onset? What's the age of the child?
I'm going to say this off the top of my head, and I could be completely wrong, but okay. You can certainly take it up. But six-ish, okay. Like not early childhood,
gotcha.
But
okay.
Later. We live in a sea of microbes. We have 100 trillion on and in us. We have 100 trillion whether they're friendly or not friendly. And a lot of them are neither friendly or unfriendly. They're just neutral.
Right.
Okay. Important but neutral. Well, what you're going to see in the next year, and we'll probably do a show on it, is because I just started a project in this last October, is restoration of the human microbiome and what it will mean for all humans on the earth.
This is something that's so, I can't believe you just said this. Go ahead. Because this is something that really interests me. I actually been thinking about this from so many different standpoints. I'm wondering if you can, if you know how you kill your lawn and then reseed it? Can you do that with your stomach and your intestines?
Yeah, we've been doing it since last October.
So do you use a small group? Oh, can I be in the group?
We'll talk about it after the show,
okay.
But yes,
I guess
you can.
Okay.
We just started the project in October. We found a product that can provide upwards of 5 trillion, friendly bacteria per dose, which compared to Mercola's 66 billion or, you know, the
any of those probiotics out
20
there, right.
billion, yeah.
Right.
It's a very potent dose. In fact, restoration of the human microbiome is curing ulcerative colitis and has been doing so for about 4 years. But the field is new because most of the work's being done in Europe. And it's being done in Europe because here we think of pathogens. We think of microbes as pathogens. We don't think of them as the friendlies.
Right.
And if we do think about them as the friendlies, we think of them in terms of kefir and yogurt and
Activa,
right. And the new ones that are going to be out within the next year, Danisco is going to be marketing yogurts to lose weight. That the microbes in the gut of obese people are different than those in thin people, which is true. Some of the things these microbes do is digest lectins. There's no question in some of the research that's currently going on, not in alternative labs, but in clinical labs.
Wow.
Relate to, can you seed with certain microbes for people who are genetically gluten intolerant to allow them to eat gluten? That kind of thing is what's going on. And how do you seed? You can seed the mouth and throat with microbes that will destroy the MRSA virus, which now 30% of Americans carry methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus in their nose.
Really?
And during the H1N1 breakout, the only deaths that occurred were in people who were carriers of Staphylococcus aureus. No other persons died. So if you are one of those 30% carriers, it's a big deal because it makes you more susceptible to serious illness from any other concurrent infections.
Right.
So it works in selectins in that in all cultures, fermentation was a part of all cultures because there was no refrigeration. And in longevity studies, the things that they found to be different in centenarians, there are only three things. And interestingly enough, it's not growth hormone, it's not estrogen, testosterone, it's none of those things. The three things that were completely different about centenarians were they had normal vitamin D levels in that optimal, not high, not low range.
Right.
They had normal thyroid function.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely spot on. And they had specific microbes that, when fed to lab rats, turned them into super rats.
Really? In their stomach, you're saying, these microbes?
It's really in your body.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Your stomach. We're talking about coating your skin, your nose, your mouth, your throat. When we started the project in October, one of the most interesting things that happened almost immediately is numbers of people who were in the project reported back that they could sing again, which I thought was just ridiculous, but actually made sense because they had restored the microbiome of the larynx.
Ah.
and it altered all the mucosal tissue from the mouth and nose all the way through the entire body.
See, this is really interesting to me because this is something that I've been struggling with. I took an antibiotic last year because of an abscess that I had to have before they could work on it. They gave me an antibiotic. The antibiotic totally destroyed my stomach, and my stomach has never been the same. I have a hard time digesting everything right now, and I've been thinking, gee, you kill your lawn and then reseed it. Why can't I kill everything in my stomach and then just drop tons and tons of the proper microbes in there to reline my stomach?
Well, because, first of all, you have 100 trillion microbes, and no matter what you take, you can't kill them all.
Right, okay.
It's not possible.
Right.
And, again, lots of them are neutral, and it's an ecosystem, which is really interesting. So a lot of the changes that we're actually expecting in the human immune system won't take place until after next October, because the things that we're doing right now are actually profoundly altering the entire immune system, not just in the gut, but they actually alter the thymus and the spleen.
Wow, that's interesting, the thymus especially. Listen, Crispin, we're coming to the end of the interview. I want to plug your website again. I want to tell people that Crispin has a newsletter that she only sends out when there's something important to communicate.
Or interesting.
Or interesting, right. It's not one of these newsletters that every week you get one in your inbox, whether you want it or not. It's only when Crispin finds something interesting or important. Go to Crispin.com, K-R-I-S-P-I-N.com. Sign up for her newsletter. Also, she has a workbook that she has used with many of her clients that is now available to the general public. It's $40. Where can they learn about the workbook? At the website also?
It's links to the other website on vitamin D, sunlightd.org, but there's a link on the crispin.com website to that website, and
this
talks about the workbook.
And this workbook will allow people to unlock their own nutritional strategies, correct?
Correct, and has information on lectins and vitamin D, and it includes information on the human microbiome.
It's an assembly of all of you've worked on for many, many years. Right?
Yeah.
So this is really for $40. It's a bargain. Go to Crispin, K-R-I-S-P-I-N.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out the workbook. Crispin, thanks so much, and we will do that show when you're ready, okay, about the lining of the stomach, changing the microbes there.
It's always a pleasure. I'll be glad to come back again.
Okay, and we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio, so tune in then.
Is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Hey, did you know you could listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? Go to the BlackBerry store and download the Radio Bee app. Go to shoutcast.com and search for the Superhuman Channel and get started today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.